This is Scott Delosio. This is Paris Auto Speedway podcast number 2 for the 2017 season, and a great chance to talk to one of the all-time great drivers in sprint car racing in Southern California. The West Coast should actually say, five-time champion, USAC CRA Sprint Car Series. We're going to talk about five straight championships in a row later. Mike Spencer from Temecula, California. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you. What have you been doing over this winter?
This winter, for the most part, I've been spending time with my wife and kids, and we got two little ones, and so it's been nice spending a lot of time with them, and then obviously working, and then working on the race car. Some got a new race car going together, so been working on that as well.
Tell us about the kids. Nolan, I think, turned 1 year old on New Year's Eve, and Vera's going to be 3 in May. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's like a 2.5 and just a little over 1. So, Nolan, he's just started walking here like a month ago. So he's now mobile and he's all over the place. And Vera, she's a lot of fun too. So, we've definitely just been having a lot of fun.
Vera realized daddy's a race driver when she's at the racetrack?
Yeah, I think so. One of the times after the races, she said, Dada's car's not red, because she had gotten used to coming over and seeing me always driving a red race car. So she's kind of got used to that. And I think she gets it. She likes coming to the races. And afterwards, she comes down to the pits and she's, her favorite thing, I think, is running in and out of the trailer. She really likes to do that. So she enjoys it. She's been going since she was, probably like 8 weeks old or something like that. So, both of them have really grown up going to the races from a pretty young age.
Just like you did.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
No, we said just like you did. You had, like Nolan and Vera, your dad raced sprint cars. Tell us a little bit about your father.
Yeah, my dad raced sprint cars from 76 through 84, I think, with CRA. So I was born in 81, which I think he might have been driving for other people. I think he might actually have been driving for the Gardners when I was born. And then after that, he ended up running his own car. So they would keep the race car at the house. So I was, always around it from a early age there for up until he stopped. And so they'd be working on it in the garage. They'd let me sit in the seat. And so I would just sit in the race car while they were working on it. And usually I'd fall asleep in there, I guess. So that was, I don't really remember much of it because I was so little, but that's kind of, I guess, how the story goes.
One time, and this is off target, what we're talking about, back in the day when I was doing PR and doing some photography out at Ascot, got there late one night, went up and sat in the grandstand, sat behind your dad and his son playing with race cars in the bleachers. That had to be about 1987, 88.
That's funny. That was me.
Yeah, exactly. You talked a little bit about that red 50 car. That had to be a tough deal last year. Right before the season, you lost Ron Chaffin. A couple of years before that, you lost Bruce Bromley, and arguably Bruce Bromley Jr., I should say, one of the top crew chiefs, along with Ray Sheets, probably in the entire history of going back to 1946 with CRA. And as I said, you lost Chaffin after that. You got to run the car one time last year. How hard of a transition was that, leaving that car?
It was, the season had already started. I think Ron had passed away the week leading into the first race. And so, we knew his health wasn't good, but he's kind of been up and down. And so it was still kind of a surprise at how fast he ended up passing. So, really missed him, and that first race was hard to go there without him, and then the way his family really did not share the same passion for racing that he did, and so I kind of had a hunch that things were going to stop, and that's how it all worked out, and so the family stopped the racing operations and everything, and so it was basically after the season had started, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. I knew I wanted to try to find a ride, and I just didn't really know kind of how that would materialize. And so I called kind of a a few people that I knew just to try to get some feelers out there and see what could happen. And Mel Murphy of Circle Track Performance was the first one I called, and then so he ended up getting me hooked up with Tom and Lori Sertich, and so I ended up driving for them for a race, and then Corey Cruzman for the race after that, and then I got hooked up with Dennis and Crystal Ganson on their Ganson Engineering Motorsports team, and so that seemed to be a good fit, and so ran the rest of the year for them.
How did that come about, hooking up with the Gansons?
Yeah, it was at Paris, and it was at the second race of the year, and Chris had come up to me and said that, next year before I, made any plans or whatever to maybe come talk to them, and he was thinking about possibly, stopping driving, but continuing on as kind of a crew chief role, and they wanted to keep running the car. So I kind of thanked him, and then after that, with Tom and Lori, I really appreciated them letting me run their car, but everything seemed like it was kind of really up in the air. And with the Gansons, they had Maxim cars that I've been used to and liked running. And so, I called him up during the week and Chris anyway, and see if we can meet. And then they kind of all, luckily we were able to kind of put something together, and it all worked out.
Talking about Chris Ganson real quick, I didn't realize he had that part of that story. He was thinking about quitting. I told him at the Oval Nationals last year, I thought he was the most improved driver in CRA last year. He seems to work really well with you, and you really came a long way as a driver.
Yeah, I thought he definitely would have been in the running for the most improved, for sure. I mean, he made the A-Main at the Oval Nationals, which is not an easy feat. I think he actually won one or two heat races. I know for sure, and that was a big improvement. So that's been cool to see him kind of coming along and over there, and kind of everybody working together.
And talking about you and him, he's like you. He has a young son. You have the two young kids as well. So when you go work on the race car, you can bring the kids with you.
Yeah. No, normally my kids don't go, but I always kind of joke around with them because we'll go inside and eat dinner and land, and he's kind of like, that's Chris's son, and he'll be eating dinner with us and kind of playing with his food, and it's kind of like being at home, with little kids around and throwing food and all that kind of stuff, so it's pretty fun.
Back when you were running for Ron Chaff, when that car was kept up at Bruce Bromeshaft, I believe it was Paso Robles where that was at. After that, it came down to your house after Bruce passed away. Now it's up San Bernardino way with the Gansons. Are you still working on the car as much as you were when it was at your dad's house?
Probably not as much as that, but I do go up there usually during the week, and then I'll go up one night during the week and then try to go up a day on the weekend, or kind of just depends on what needs to happen. Obviously when we start, racing more, I'll go more frequently to help out with the maintenance and stuff like that. With building this new car, I've been there to kind of help with that and everything. So probably not quite as much when it was here in Temecula, it was a lot closer and so it was kind of easier to go to and from, but I still go over there quite a bit.
How much did you do on the car when it was up in Paso Robles?
Not much. When Bruce was taking care of everything, pretty much what I did was I just took care of the shocks. So I would rebuild them and kind of valve the shocks myself, and that was what I did. If we ever needed something like to put another car together or something like that, I would go up and help. But I mean, it was like 5 hours away, so I would probably go up there to work on it maybe a couple times a year, and then. But with Bruce, he had kind of some health issues there over the years. So, the car had been back and forth from Temecula probably like four times over those years that I even drove it. Sometimes it was even there about, I think it was there like six months or more. So it had been kind of back and forth and from here. But when Bruce, when his health was good, everything, it was up there and he handled all of it. And I would just kind of go up as needed.
How much of an advantage was it to have Bruce Browne on your side at a race? I know back in the day when he was wrenching on your car and you'd be running third or fourth in a main event and a red flag would come out and everybody in the press box would go, there it goes. Bruce is going to go touch that car and it's going to go to the front.
Yeah.
How smart was he when it came to setting up a race car, and how easy was he to work with?
Well, on as far as being savvy with setting the race car up, he was very good. He also kept it very simple. And, you know, I think that was one of his strengths is, you know, he didn't overanalyze it and he just kind of kept it really simple and he knew what to do to it. And he was able to watch the car and a lot of guys think they could watch it pretty good but he could really see what it was doing. You know, that was his strength. But I think even more than that, I would say he was as good or better at, like, working with the driver and understanding the driver, like, what the driver's mindset and making him comfortable. And if I ever, like, had any issues or whatever, he would go to whatever degree to make that not an issue. And his record shows that, you know, he worked with different guys of different personalities, ages, and was able to kind of gel and have success with all of them. And I think that was one of his biggest strengths.
Did you try to bring any of the stuff you learned from him to your new team and help them with that?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we were together 9 years. So, like, all the, you know, a lot of the stuff that I had learned from him, you know, that was like we had our system. And so, you know, basically we still, I mean, I have all the I have some notes from when we ran, and I knew a lot of the stuff that we had done to the car and stuff like that. Because him and I worked really good and close together, and I was always involved in what was going on. So, definitely brought that over to there. But stuff started kind of changing a couple years ago on this different tire, and a lot of the stuff that we had success with was on the wider, softer tire. So. Not all of it necessarily transfers over to right now, unfortunately. Anyway.
Last year, first year in a long time, you did not have any wins. How frustrating was that?
It was pretty frustrating. You know, I know I expected to win, and no matter what car I was driving, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I think I could do it. So, that was difficult, and it was difficult for everybody, for Dennis and Crystal, Vance and Will in the car. They expected to win. I expected to win. Everybody working on it expected to do good, and we just did not have the results or speed, most of the time. And we were in position for maybe a couple of them, but
you were in position one night of the past, I remember, when you ran out of fuel on a yellow, which didn't appeal to a whole lot of people in the grandstands.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those, you know, every 5 years or so, you just have kind of a weird race and circumstances, the way that it kind of comes up that you don't see but every once in a great while, and that was definitely one of them. And, you know, they USAC, as a result of that, they've changed the time that the cars run before they mandate a fuel stop and made them 5 minutes sooner, just because, you know, the first three finishers or first three in the running order all ran out of gas. So that was frustrating, but, you know, that was, we were actually in a good spot that night, it just didn't work out. So a couple of them, we had a good run at Canyon, and there at the end of the year, I think we were making some gains. So now I'm really optimistic about this year, and we'll just put that behind us.
And you almost had a win at Ventura, driving the only time you drove for Corey last year.
You
got passed by Troy Rutherford of Ventura, and that is nothing to be ashamed of. That guy's the master of Ventura.
Yeah, it was a pretty good race between Troy and I, and I led early on, and I just think I didn't quite make the right decisions there in the middle part of the race, with kind of adjusting on the shocks and stuff like that to keep it where I needed to be, and probably just a little slow doing that. And I ran it back down at the end, but just ran out of time. But that was a good run. Really fun working with Corey. He's like a really good friend of mine, and he's taught me a lot, helped me a lot over the years. So, you know, it was fun to go race with him and Harlan Willis and Mike Nye and those guys.
So this year, coming back in with the Gansons, championship in your sights, and what what are you guys going to do different this year, now that you've been together for a full year, that you didn't do when you're getting to know each other?
Well, now I think you know, everybody's kind of going into this year eyes wide open with running two cars and getting set up to run two of them. And last year it was kind of added in the middle of the season. So, you know, I think, you know, they've been able to get me a new car, which is great. And I think we're going to be fast, you know, right out of the box. And you know, Chris is also, they're putting a new car together for him as well. So I think as a team, we should be really strong so yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get going, and you know, I think we're gonna have good things to come.
I was thinking the other day, thinking about you, and it's like when you first came into this series, you came in, and most of the top guys were older guys: Rip Williams, Tony Jones, the Gas Man, Richard Griffin, Steve Osling, guys like that. Now it's kind of flip flopped. Most of the top drivers in the series are under 29 years of age. It's totally different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is different for them, but the champion's older than me, so I got that. From last year, so I got that to look forward to. So, it is different. It's a lot different, actually. With, you know, going back to 2001 when I started, and I was 19 at the time, I think, or 20 or something like that, and a lot of the younger guys seemed like they were going to race midgets, and I was able to race sprint cars, but you're right. There's a lot of guys that have been doing it for, you know, 10, 15 years, some of them, and you know, also at Paris, you know, I think the first time I ran, they had like 75 cars show up for the normal SCRA race. You know, it was like a D main and a C main, and if you didn't qualify in the top 32, didn't transfer out of the C, like, you were done for the night. You ran 8 laps and you went home, you know, versus now it's everybody makes the main on some nights, and it's a lot. You know, they might have 30 cars, so that's kind of a bit one of the major differences. But yeah, as far as the younger guys, there's a good group of young guys coming up right now, and they're all kind of in their, you know, mid to probably mid 20s, something like that, and they're all, you know, getting going pretty good and have some experience now. So I'm kind of one of the older guys now, which is kind of different, but you know, I guess
at 35 years of age, correct?
Yeah. And I guess you're not going to be young forever, you know. So, but that's all right.
Go back to your younger days. How did you get started in sprint cars, or where did you come from, I guess I should say? I know you raced lightning sprints. Is that what you first raced?
Yeah. Yeah, I met Hal Engstrom at Harris, and he had he raced the lightning sprints also, and he had a sprint car too, and he just had a California Lightning Sprints jacket on, and I just tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, I really want to get involved, like, I really want to race, can I help on your car? And he kind of, kind of caught him off guard, really, so he exchanged phone numbers, and so I started coming out and helping on the mini sprint, and then the next year he was going to sell it, and nobody bought it, and so I had, since then, had started working on his sprint car and helping him out and trying to go help him wash the car and you know, help out as much as I could, and he said, hey, you know, like, nobody's bought the car, maybe we'll take it down to Brona and you can drive it, and so I was like on cloud nine, you know, so that was kind of how it started, luckily nobody bought it, and I ran that the rest of the season, and then I ended up racing with Hal for a long time, you know. So that was I guess you never know who you're going to meet at the races, and fortunately for me, I met Hal Engstrom, and I was very, very fortunate, and him and I are still close now.
You raced for Hal Engstrom, Lightning Sprint, the 410 Sprint car. Then you end up getting the ride in one of the greatest cars in the history of West Coast racing, the Chaffin 50 car. How the heck did that come about, and what did you think when you were first approached about that?
I'd always wanted to drive that car since, you know, I was younger, to drive for Bruce, and I actually worked on that car in high school a little bit. They let me work on it and scrape mud or check the stagger or whatever. So
who was driving it at that point?
Richard Griffin, yeah.
Yeah, I went to Phoenix with them a couple times with Bruce and Ron, so I knew those guys. And actually, the first 44 car that Hal put together was an old number 50. It was one of their old Ellis cars. So anyway, that's kind of another story. But you know, it was the day after the race in 2000. What would it have been? 2006. The day after the last race of the year, Bruce called me at like 11 o'clock in the morning and asked me if I wanted to drive it. And I was kind of surprised, but I was like, you know, yeah, of course, you know? And so I had that was kind of how it went, really. And, he said, well, we're going to get Maxim cars like you know, and you like, and we'll go racing. And so, you know, I kind of got off the phone and Levi Jones, he was staying at my house with me, and he's like, what happened? You look, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm driving the 50 car next year, you know, and we kind of laughed. So that was kind of how it went, really. You know, I called Hal the next, you know, that later that night or whatever, and he was happy for me. So, you know, I was fortunate to drive for those guys for 9 years, I've
been very lucky that, you know, I guess, you know, run for two different guys from 2001 to 2000 through 2015, which is pretty amazing, really, and you know, like I said, just been fortunate there, and now we get hooked up with the Gansons who are you know, really good people, and you know, looking forward to running with them.
You mentioned Levi Jones. Pretty good friendship with Levi, I've heard down through the years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was coming out, him and I are kind of the same age, you know, kind of goes back to, like you said, guys being the same age, and the guys kind of in my generation or my age are kind of him, like Bud Kading, you know, I know I'm there's other guys I'm missing, but yeah, I got to be friends with Levi. He'd come out here and he drove for Glenn Crosno, and I was going to school up there at Cal Poly Pomona, which wasn't too far, so we would hang out and do stuff, and he kind of got me hooked up with some rides in the Midwest with USAC and stuff over the years, and so I'd kind of stay with him sometimes when I went back there.
Going back, we're going to go back a little bit of history right now. Going way back, 1946, the first time, first year CRA was formed. There's only four guys who have won five championships or more. And Schumann's won seven. But right now, you're tied on five with Jimmy Oskey and Damian Gardner. What's it like to be mentioned in the same breath with those guys?
Yeah, it's really cool. And Richard Griffin's in there, too. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, I think Jimmy Oskey's like a guy that's like kind of childhood hero of mine, and my dad, you know, knew him from the 70s, and they were good friends, and so I've known him for a long time and knew of his success, and then Richard Griffin, I was kind of able to watch him, you know, do that over the years, and it seemed like he was just unbeatable, to be in the same group, even with Damian, I mean, he's, you know, Damon, you look at all his wins and his championships. I mean, he's going to be right up there in the all-time, you know, leaders for the West Coast. And so to be in that same breath is pretty cool. And I'm into the history of the sport. And you know, I knew, you know, all the champion names that went, you know, most of them way back. And I'd watched it growing up. And so, you know, I've always been a fan of the sport and always will be. So that's pretty cool.
You say you like the history of the sport and talking about those guys. Excuse me, my voice is going away here. Hall of Famers, that's got to happen to you with the career you put together. Do you feel like a Hall of Famer yet?
I don't know. You know, it's not going to be up to me. You know, I don't know. I'm not really thinking, you know, that far ahead, or I'm just trying to think about this year and the first race, really. You know, I don't know. If, you know, anymore, there's a lot of guys and a lot of different series. I mean, if that happens, that would be a very unbelievable accomplishment. I don't know if I do, I guess, to be honest with you.
Getting down to the end of this deal right now, and one thing that's always impressed me being able to announce you all these years is you seem to stay out of trouble. How do you stay out of trouble? Where other drivers get in over their heads? Because you mix it up like a lot of other drivers do, but you have managed to stay out of trouble. I think better than anybody since I've been around, watching and announcing. How do you do that?
I don't know. I'm going to knock on wood here, but I don't know. I think that when I learned to race, you know, we had with house car, we had one car, one engine, one spare front axle, and so if I was going to wreck the thing, like I might not race. Like, you know, at the beginning, I might not, you know, race. If I crashed a lot, I'd be probably done after a year. So, you know, I think that I learned to kind of come up to speed and try to stay under control at the same time. And so it took a while before I didn't win a race for, I think, almost 6 years. And now I think it was harder then, but I kind of came up gradually so I don't know. I think a lot of it goes back to that and just learning to finish the races and you know, to finish first you must finish. So, I'm not sure on that really. I mean, I'm trying as hard as everybody else, but I always, my dad always told me early on that you need to look really far ahead because that's where you're going, you know, and so I've always tried to do that and I guess keep my nose clean.
You know, back to a story, and I mean, you seldom tip cars over, seldom gotten hurt. I mean, it's a funny story when we look back on it now. You crashed at Paris on the front straightaway. I don't know how many years ago that was in the 50 car. And something I very seldom have seen, if ever. You were in the car for quite a while, and other drivers were coming out of the racetrack to check on you, which that was just a sign of respect that I thought was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in sprint car racing. Part of that, though, we've talked about this before, is you're in the car and Ricky Gaunt had something to say.
Yeah. He said, I was a little, the phone was still ringing when this was going on and I was a little fuzzy. But Gaunt says something like, well, take it to the work area. It's fine. And Bromley said, I'm going to drive it. And so I was kind of like, you know, coming too. And I said, no, I'm good. Push me to the work area. You know, and the guys, the workers were looking at me all weird. You know, the front of it's like folded up in a, you know, like in a ball and all the tubes in the front end are broke and things bent. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Push me to the work area. Don't worry, you know, I got this. And so then they all started realizing that, okay, well, maybe I didn't really know what was going on. So they kind of, Ricky, he was laughing about it. And he has like a way, he's like one of the only guys that in any situation he could kind of make everybody laugh. So that was kind of how that went.
We miss guys like Ricky Gaunt, Tony Jones, guys who had the personalities like that before. Do you think that's lacking in racing right now?
I don't know. I mean, I have a different personality than Ricky. I can't make people laugh quite like he does and probably a little more serious, but I don't know. I think that goes and comes, you know, depends on the guys. And a lot of it is getting to know the guys and getting those guys comfortable in front of the microphone and being able to kind of speak that way. So now I think, like you'll see with our group now, I think there's some young guys that are kind of getting more comfortable and coming up So maybe there'll be somebody to kind of take the place of those guys. I don't know, but I do miss racing with a lot of those guys. And over the years we had a lot of fun.
Who was your all-time favorite race car driver?
That's a good question there. So I guess when I was a kid, I went to Ascot. I watched, you know, guys like Lynn McSpadden and Schumann and Rip and Eddie Wirth and Mike Sweeney and all those guys so I remember but when I really had like a favorite guy for sure, it was Billy Boat when he started driving for the Brahmies and he was just exciting. Like, he'd be quick time and he'd be going like hell, and sometimes he'd crash and sometimes he'd win, but he was like really exciting to watch, and so he was probably my favorite when I was younger But you know, obviously my dad, he's my dad, so he's, you know, a hero of mine and somebody I've, you know, always admire, but you know, hard to say on a favorite. You know, like Richard Griffin, I always liked his style, and Corey Cruzman, when I first started, driving sprint cars out here, I didn't make the main all the time, and that was the year Corey Cruzman won all the races, and so I really tried to watch his style and what he did to pass cars, and so I always liked him and too. So, you know, I don't know that I really have an all-time favorite, but like I said, I'm definitely a fan of the sport, and I've probably just named 20 guys, but I've always liked watching a lot of the guys coming up.
You talked about your dad. He's always in the pits helping you to this day, correct?
Yeah, he goes to all the races, and he's pretty much been there every race since I started racing sprint cars for the most part. He's been a huge help, and he could fix anything. He could take something that was bent and straighten it and remachine it, and the thing would be as good as new. So, you know, he's taught me a lot, and been a big part of my racing for sure.
Anybody else come from the 50 car to the 4S car with you?
Well, Eric Kaufman, he kind of came there a little bit, and then he hurt his ankle, so he wasn't really coming around after that. Paul Dean, he'd been with the 50 car for a couple years, and he was a big part of it when the car came down to Temecula. He goes, he's moved over there to the Ganson car with us, and he goes, he lives in Fallbrook, which is not too far from my house, so he'll ride out there with me when we go work on it. So he's a huge help and another guy that can fix anything. So that's pretty much it as far as my dad and him from the 50 car. There's obviously over there, there's Chris Ganson and he has Jeff Gardner working on his car, who's been around forever. And Mark Priestley is also involved in my car and his crew guy, Jason. So we got a lot of really good people and it should be a lot of fun.
You talked about the Mark Priestley and Jason on the car. You got a lot of wins with those guys in the 360. Any plans of them, or do they even still have a race car?
No, Mark pretty much sold most of his racing stuff. It's the engine in my car was his engine, and so he kind of takes care of that part, manages the engine and all that stuff, and. But other than that, he's pretty much sold all of his cars and engine, 360 engine, and he's pretty much he's kind of now just helping out and not running a team anymore.
So for this year, will we see Mike Spencer running anything else besides USAC CRA?
If I could find a ride, I would definitely entertain it. I'd like to do some other stuff, but right now I don't have anything in the works for like a 360, car or anything like that. So as of now, no. But we'll see if anything comes up.
Sponsor wise, you guys bringing the same deal back as last year?
Yeah. For the most part, they the Ganson, they have a lot of people that have helped them over the years, like Trench Soaring and Stainless Steel Fabricators, Porter Group, and Cook King and King Components, so a lot of people that they've had on board, and kind of with me, I've had people kind of come over there with me as well, and like I said, Mark Priestley, actually we have a new sponsor this year, Ramble Racing, that we're really excited about, so he's come on board CSI Shocks and Sander Engineering and Simpson. So we got a lot of people that help, and definitely wouldn't be able to do it without all of them. So definitely really appreciate all their support.
Well, Mike Spencer, it's always great to talk to you. It's even better to watch you race. Everybody, you guys listen to this podcast, you can see him race. I'm losing my voice here, as I said. You can see him race season opener, Sokola Shootout Paris Auto Speedway. It's going to be on March 4th. Mike Spencer, going after his sixth title, and that's more than anybody but Ronnie Schumann going back to 1946. You've done a great job. We look forward to seeing your races here, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. We'll see you guys at the races.
All right. See ya.